everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and joining me today is the stranger, because we haven't had her on the show forever. Hello, Sabina.
Hey, Pam. Hello, everybody.
What have you been up to?
Just work and babysitting and hanging with friends. That's about it.
Well, it's work and play, so that's a good thing. That's a good combination.
Yep.
And I think we're in for a treat tonight. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
We were just discussing with our guest about his Tumblr, so let me let you know who's with us, although you should know if you've been reading the tweets, gone to my website, or been on my Facebook page. We welcome actor, writer, and producer Luke Albright. Hello, Luke.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for joining us. We're happy to have you. So, yes, as we were discussing your Tumblr, I think that maybe we should have some more people reading that, because it's a lot of fun to read, and you definitely have an imagination going on there.
Yeah, imagination, I think, is a kind way to put it. I appreciate that. I've heard much worse, so thank you.
Yeah. Well, it comes in handy with being a writer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you kind of, I think, to be successful, would hopefully have a good imagination, and that's never been a problem. So, definitely
yeah.
Got that going.
When you were younger, did you have make-believe friends?
No, I'm not insane. I have
okay.
a good imagination, but I you know, that's a question you could ask my parents. But no, never that far, but was always drawing, writing, putting on ridiculous plays with my sister, building forts, creating all sorts of madness was what I liked to do.
Well, when did you realize that you wanted to be in the entertainment business?
Oh, gosh, that one came about pretty late, actually. I'd always come from a family where, you know, being in the entertainment industry was not really an option. It was kind of, you know, you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or something pretty
mm-hmm.
standard. I had never really even considered it, but graduated from college and then had a banking job down in Austin, Texas, and was really unhappy with where my life was headed, just was bored and not enjoying it, and just on a lark from talking to a friend decided to take an acting class and fell in love with it right then and there, and that was it. Got back into acting, got started writing again, and just kind of took off from right there. So probably I didn't start acting until I was 24, I don't think.
Wow. That is rather late. I mean, most people
mm-hmm.
these days, you know, tell you, well, when I was five, you know.
Exactly. I'm very envious of those people, people that know from five or six, like, I want to do this. This is what I'm going to do with my life. Really jealous of those people. I never
yeah,
knew.
Especially after spending all the money and time in college and doing something that you didn't want to do after you finished.
Right.
I mean, you know, I had one of those situations one time.
Okay. Oh, did you same thing or?
Well, it wasn't actually college. I went to a school for medical coding and billing, thinking that's something I wanted to get into. And I had done customer service all my life, either by phone or as waitress or bartender
okay.
or something. And so when I got into the medical and coding business and I got my first job, I spent 3 weeks there. I called my old boss back and said, oh, my God, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I need
Trust
to
me.
Be back talking with people. I cannot sit and stare at a computer for 8 hours and just input all these medical codes and stuff. I couldn't take
God,
it. So that was a waste of time and money.
I completely understand that. That's why Office Space is one of my favorite films. I mean, it's just that kind of was my job, and I couldn't see my whole life turning out that way. You know what I mean? So you understand
right.
that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And Sabina, same thing with you. I mean, I don't think you went to school for anything, but you're a people person. You're always out working jobs that involve people, right?
Yeah, I actually went to school for medical billing and coding, too. And I
you
got
did.
A job. I got
wow.
a job that they wanted me more for the insurance side, and the insurance stuff was going right over my head. And because I hadn't had the really, you know, real world experience yet, they let me go because they said that I was not trainable the way they wanted to train me, which was basically, here you go, learn it and figure out what we do. I'm like, yeah that's not going to work, which annoyed me. And now I paid money for that, or I'm still paying for that, and not even using it. So But yeah, I'm actually a photographer at a portrait studio. So
nice.
Yeah, definitely.
That's much more interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely. I will say though that I don't regret college. Like, I had an amazing time there, 5 years, greatness. But yeah, I learned a lot of stuff that I probably haven't used in about 10 to 15 years. So.
Yeah, right. What was your first professional part?
My first professional part, wow, I think that would have to be in Austin doing just print work or commercials. But out here, I'm trying to think what my first, oh my God, my first kind of real paid TV gig was, I had a small role on Passions. Do you remember that soap opera?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, trust me. And if you've seen that show, you know that you're in for a doozy. I played a guy who, I guess one of the main characters was being pimped out by her boyfriend to be a hooker, and I played one of the guys that she had to, you know, do her business with, and then she ended up killing me. Yeah, I died. It was amazing.
Why?
Imagine explaining that to your parents. Hey, guys, I've got an acting gig. I'm on a thing called Fashions, and I get killed by a hooker. Yay. But that
funny.
Was actually a lot of fun. Yeah, that was a good time.
Well, Sabina and I both are huge soap opera watchers, and, well, me
okay.
more so than her, because she sticks with one soap, and I watch pretty much all of them. But I do remember
okay.
Passions.
I
watched it for a little bit, and it was a little bit too much out there for me. So I didn't continue
yes,
watching
it. Was
it.
Yeah, well, you've got a little guy turning from a doll into, like, a human being, and there's all sorts of, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone was asking me, like, well, are you going to be on it again? And I was like, well, it killed me, so probably not, but no, it's Ashes. I could come back as a robot or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That one was, it was crazy.
Yeah, well, that's one thing about the soap opera business is you're never really dead. You know, you can come
exactly.
back in 10, 20 years,
yeah.
but... with Passions being gone, I think you're pretty much gone from that.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
Did you watch yourself on it? What did you think, if you did watch it?
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, I had a couple buddies that we watched it, and we were dying laughing the entire time. I mean, it was one of those things where I got to create a lot of my own dialogue on it, and some of the stuff I said was just so ludicrous. I mean, it was ridiculous. I just basically in my second scene stripped down to my boxers and I'm like, let's get down to business. And I throw her on the
oh.
bed.
Oh.
Yeah, it was acting at its finest. Daniel Day-Lewis would be ashamed of what I did.
Nice.
Is there anything that you took away from being on a soap that you know, realize, hey, this is good stuff? I mean, did you learn
Absolutely.
How to read a lot of pages or something?
Yeah, I have a ton of respect for the actors on daytime TV because they have to – those scripts are changing so much, the writers and the actors, because it's such a massive amount of work. They do probably – I'm going to do a shameless plug right now. My girlfriend just shot an episode of General Hospital that I want y'all to watch out for. And the day that they were shooting, they did 56 setups. So, I mean, it's insane the amount of work these people do per day. And the actors – bundles and bundles of dialogue that they get the night before. You know what I mean? So to pull
mm-hmm.
that off and make it even halfway believable, I have such a ton of respect for the people on those shows. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, would you be interested in doing another soap, or are you basically done with that genre?
I think it would all depend on what kind of character, you know, they had coming for me. I think you could definitely have a lot of fun with it. And that's the thing with soap operas, the storylines are endless. It could go any number of different ways. But, yeah, I think you can have a lot of fun. There's absolutely no reason I wouldn't do one.
Well, I don't know if you can tell us, but first of all,
okay.
what's your girlfriend's name and what's her character name? Is she on there just for a guest spot or is there a role?
She had a really nice guest spot. I can't say anything about the role, but I can tell you her name. Her name is Agnes Olek. And she's
okay.
a very talented actress. I was really proud of her work. And as soon as I know, I'll let you all know when it's going to air. It should air pretty soon, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
She filmed it Friday.
General Hospital,
Friday,
I've been
so.
Watching for a billion years. So, yeah, I'd like to know.
You'll know for sure all of her scenes are with the main guy, the guy who's been playing Luke for 36 years. So you'll know it when you hear.
Oh, with
Tony
Geary.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And she said she was so impressed by him, just a sweetheart, just a really good guy.
That's awesome. Tell her congratulations.
I definitely will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, what is your favorite genre of film to act in?
Oof, this is a good one. As a writer, what I'm probably best at is comedy. That's, I think, what originally got me into the business was I love making people laugh. So for writing, I would say comedy. For me to sit back and watch a movie, I love action movies. I love them. Sci-fi or action, can't get enough.
Yeah. Did you ever think to write one? I mean, I know you said you like to write comedies, mm-hmm. but
did
you write
one? I got hired to adapt a graphic novel a few years ago called Brody's Law. I don't know if you've heard of it. It was an English graphic novel. Yeah. And I did a pass on that for the people that had the option at the time and ended up the option expired and they moved on and I don't know what's going on with it. But I was really, really happy with the take I did on that. And it was a lot of fun. But what I will say about that is that was really dark source material. So when you lock yourself in your apartment for a month and that's all you're thinking about, it starts to affect you. It's a little bit weird. I don't know how often I would do that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. You can get into that dark area. Just like when you're acting on something, whether it be TV or a film, and you have to play that role over and over and over and over, you have to learn how to get yourself out of that when you leave the set, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, actors all take their different approaches and they have their different methods or not methods at all. It is very important, I think, to have a life outside of that, be able to separate yourself and say, okay, whether you're acting or writing, okay, I'm doing this for X amount of hours, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to the other part of my life, which is very important as well, to kind of separate the two so you don't get caught in that weird area where you're like, oh, is this taking over? I've seen a lot of people have problems with that.
Right, right. Now, which part have you played or have coming up is most like you?
Oh, that's a great question. There is a part in a film called Lost in a Crowd that is very similar to my comedic timing. I'd say give this guy about 5 drinks, shake him up like a bottle of shampoo, and then set him on like level 10, and it'd be that kind of expression of me. He's pretty similar to a character named Cole. A bit douchier, hopefully, than I am in real life, but... There's the character that I play, the one I did with Gary Cairns, the one we wrote and we just filmed called Monumental.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a darker version of, I think, of a lot me and a lot of people that I know. But, okay, the one I have come out with Rennie, I think, is pretty much me. The Diablo Pass incident, that should be out August 23rd here in the States. I basically get to play me if I got to be the hero. You know what I mean? That's what I hope I am as a person.
Right.
So.
What is it about? Devil's Pass.
It's the Outlaw's Pass worldwide. In the U.S., it will be the Devil's Pass. And basically, it's based on a true story. If you guys research it, it's really creepy. Back in 1959, this group of hikers and skiers went out in the Russian wilderness just for an expedition. They're supposed to be gone for 2 weeks, and they never came back. So eventually, people got worried and went and looked for them, and they found all 9 of them dead in like gruesome fashion. Like some of their skulls were crushed, bones were broken.
Oh,
it's
wow.
From the inside, though, like just there's no external wounds. Some people were missing their tongues. Their hair had radiation on it. It was really, really bizarre. And the Russian government just covered up completely. So no one ever knew what really happened to the people. And if you research it, it's super creepy. So what we do is we play a group of American film students that go to document what happened, try to find out what happened. And of course, that stuff starts out with stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is creepy.
it's
especially
really
knowing that it's based on a true story, you know.
Oh, the pictures online are horrific. So I was really excited to be a part of that one.
Wow. And another movie, Paranormal. What's that one?
Paranormal movie. That I had a very small role in that. That was Kevin Farley did that film, Chris Farley's brother.
Uh-huh.
And through a mutual acquaintance of ours, I came in kind of last minute to fill in for someone and just went on there for a day and just had a blast. I had a really good time working with those guys. And that's just a spoof on Paranormal Activity, those kind of movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I'm trying to remember if I watched any of the Paranormal Activity movies? Because isn't there, there's two of them, I believe, out.
I think they've done maybe three now. I've only seen the first one, and I found it really creepy. Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, it's hard to watch those kinds of movies because I'm the type that dreams about that.
Oh, yeah, same here. I when I was in the theater, I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. And then I was laying in bed later that night and started hearing stuff and getting freaked out.
Right.
Like, no, that movie was really good. It's getting me 3 hours later, so they did something right.
Yeah.
I feel you.
I watched The Exorcist when it first came out, and it's kind of dating myself, but
that's
something that has stuck in my head for life, and I can't even hear, like, any of the music from it or, you know, if they have a commercial or see any of the pictures because to this day, I have to sleep with my TV on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I don't blame you at all. That, to me, today is still the best horror film ever made, and nothing even really approaches it. I get disappointed with a lot of horror films, but that one from start to finish, oh my God, it's scary.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And to say that even nowadays, with the when it was made so many years ago, they were, oh my God, I don't even know. But a funny story is, I got to talk to Linda Blair when I was working at this one place. I was taking an order from her for flowers, and the only thing that kept going through my mind over and over was her face in The Exorcist. It was hard to talk to her.
You're like, ma'am, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to leave, I can't do this. I wouldn't be able to do it either. That's all I'd be able to think about.
Well, it's a good thing it was a quick order, and I got off the phone. You know, I almost did pass it on to somebody else, but I just thought, no, this is my job. I got to do this. Let me just do it and get it over with, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying.
I'm sorry?
I was just going to say I'm going to play Tubular Bells the next time I see you.
Oh, don't go.
Just the theme music for that. Just watch you freak out. I would
Sabina,
not do
it.
I would never
now,
do
Pam.
It, Pam.
Sabina, you remind me, if Luke ever wants to meet up, not to go.
Yeah, don't you dare. He will play that music. I know him.
I must admit, I've never watched the movie, and I don't think I ever will at this point.
Are you scared easily? Do you like scary movies?
Yeah. I prefer The Sixth Sense, like the mysterious and, you know, that kind of thing, not the really, really scary. I don't know. It's kind of weird. And I definitely don't do the gore. Ooh, no.
I agree with you 100% on that. I think the gore is kind of a cheap trick. And Sixth Sense was masterful. That's one of the best horror films I've seen as well. Really, really good.
Sabina, were you watching Days of Our Lives when Marlena was possessed?
Yes, and I barely watched during that.
That's nothing compared to The Exorcist. That's nothing, but it reminded me of it when she floated up from the bed, you know.
Oh, I've seen plenty of scenes from it, you know, in passing or, you know, just video clips or whatever. But, yeah, I've not watched the movie, and I think I'm going to steer clear of that one.
Sabina, please don't watch it. I think it would be bad for you.
you'll be like
He's
me and Luke then.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, on to a better subject or less frightening one, I hope. You and Gary just got back from a road trip making the film for Monumental. Can you tell us anything about your road trip?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was it was one of those really weird things where, of course, in the script, we write it where there a lot of problems happen to these guys, whether it be, you know, with their trip or mentally having to deal with their families back home. And, man, I tell you what, it's kind of like the script came alive. Like, all the stuff we had written kind of started happening to us as we were shooting, just breaking down when we were supposed to break down. And that was the biggest thing was we had so much trouble with this 1980 RV that we bought to drive across the country. I have no idea how we got it finished. Like, it was breaking constantly. So that was, we didn't know at points, Gary and I would sit up late at night and be like, what do we do? Like, if it crapped out in the middle of the country, how are we going to finish this film? You know what I mean? Like, we've got all these people out here on the road. How do we get it done? How do we get everyone home? But I think we're still under a lucky star. Everything happened the way it needed to, and we got it done.
Neither one of you are mechanical at all? I mean, you wouldn't be able to fix it. What did you do? Did you have to call somebody?
Pam.
If I can fix it with duct tape, I can fix it. Other than that, that's kind of the extent of my knowledge. And that's not a lie. Like, I had to duct tape one of the fuel lines repeatedly with Batman duct tape to keep it from leaking. And then when that wasn't working, we went to Superman duct tape, and that seemed to do the job. So, it I learned more about cars in the 2.5 weeks we're on the road than I learned in, 30-plus years living. So, it was the only reason we were able to finish it was just we met some really kind people along the way that helped us get it fixed and told us what was wrong. That's the only way we got done. So a big shout out to people in the little town of Mondame in Iowa. They were fantastic, and they really kind of saved the show.
Yeah, there's still some nice people in the world.
Absolutely.
Now, I have to ask you, did you get your mohawk for that movie, or is that just something you did because you liked it?
It's kind of a little bit of both. I shaved it for the first time about 5 years ago, just kind of see what it would look like, and then switched stuff up and really, really liked it. And as time approached for this character, this guy that I play, he kind of plays a guy who won't grow up. You know what I mean? He's an adult man, but he really kind of struggled with the responsibilities of being an adult man. And it just kind of fit. Gary and I talked a lot about it, and we both really liked the look. And he's like, I think it's perfect for this guy. So let's roll with it. And the director loved it. So, yeah, we decided I was wearing it anyway. Let's just keep it. Because we had talked about just having my head shaved instead. But we all liked the hawk.
Well, at one point, I know I saw in some of, was it your picture? I think it was your pictures I was looking at on Facebook. And Gary did the same thing.
No, that was our director, Scott.
I couldn't tell because he was from behind.
Yeah, he had a little mohawk envy, and he decided that he was going to do a hawk as well. So we were trying to get the rest of the crew to follow suit, but nobody else really was really willing to risk it. But, yeah, it was really cool when he shaved his kind of in solidarity.
Nice.
That was cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. He's a good dude.
Now, you went to a bunch of landmarks. Are there, like, a couple of them that you can discuss?
Absolutely. I can tell you all the ones we went to. That's the basis of the film. The film's called Monumental. And the basic storyline that I can tell you about is that Gary plays a character named Steve. I play a character named Clayne. And I was raised by Steve's mom. She basically raised both of us while the dad was away as a long trawl hooker. Her whole life was us. And she kind of sacrificed her goals and dreams to raise us. And one of her dreams was to visit all these monuments that her husband would tell her about in the U.S., and she never got to. So after she passes, he and I take her ashes and spread her ashes at each of the monuments that she wanted to go to but never got to see. Yeah, that's the basic storyline. And we got to do Hoover Dam. We did Mount Rushmore. We did the Gateway to the Arch in St. Louis, Statue of Liberty. The only one we couldn't do that we wanted to was the Liberty Bell. We couldn't get that one done. And then we did the Lincoln Monument in Washington, D.C., which was, I've been obsessed with that monument since I was a little kid. It was amazing.
Wow. So there's going to be a lot of history in this movie.
Yeah, and that's kind of the flashback that we see, his mom kind of discussing that and going through the history of the monuments and how it takes, a group of people to come together for a good of man to make a monument. And kind of the same thing when you make a film. It's especially an indie film like this. We all have to sacrifice and come together and be willing to work for way less than, than we should to make something like this happen. So it's really nice.
Yeah, and I've spoken with a few actors that actually prefer to do indie films versus, somebody huge. And I guess it's just the way that you get to do things, you have more of a say-so on your parts and the things you do.
Yeah.
That's my take from it.
Yeah, it is a thing where when you're operating on an indie level, depending on how involved you are, where Gary and I, writers, lead actors, and helps produce as well, it's kind of, you get a lot of decision-making power of, we got to stay true to the story, we got to stay true to the characters. No one's telling us what to do. We don't have to answer anyone but us, and we can make exactly what we want to make. The downside of that is, hey, good luck going and raising the money for yourself. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And that's the necessary evil for that. And also, good luck. Oh, you're supposed to be acting right now? Well, we have the RV breakdown. We need to get these people home. Also, we're running out of money. How are you going to pay this person? Yada, yada,
right.
yada. You're the producer, not just the actor. So it's a whole different ballgame, but it was, you know what? It's challenging, and I like that. It's kind of like step up to the plate or don't. So.
Right, exactly. Now, are you having the film edited at this point?
Yes, we are currently pushing through editing. Our goal is to have a really nice draft done for to submit to Sundance. That's our goal.
Oh, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that gets done rather quickly. I'd love to see it because it sounds like a film that I'd really enjoy watching.
I hope so. I think hopefully a lot of people respond to it because, you know, the subject matter and then the characters hopefully that we created, you know people, if you can't identify yourself any of the characters, you know people like them, and that's kind of what we set out to do. I think a lot of people will like it. I'm very hopeful.
And I think it's something that pretty much anybody of any age would be able to watch, too.
Yes. We, to a certain degree, kids, maybe not great subject matter. I mean, the family stuff is great. But, you know, we deal with some more adult, like, darker subjects as far as, like, keeping a family together and, you know, what guys do on the road and stuff like that. But I think, yeah, for the most part, you know, if you're 16 or over, you should find something that you can identify with in the film.
Which all my kids are, so that's a good thing.
Perfect. All right. 4-1 for us.
Yeah. Now, what did you learn from this adventure with Gary? Was he a good roomie?
Yeah. No, trust me. You get to know someone really well when you're sleeping in a van or an RV with them for 2.5 weeks. Gary is such a talented artist, and I knew that going into this. I knew him. We met as actors on a film called Lost in the Crowd, where we got to play some nice roles opposite each other, and just have always loved working with him. He's like a consummate professional, takes this job very seriously, and is incredibly good at what he does. And then he started writing, and it sent me the script to look over a couple times, and I knew right away this guy's a natural storyteller, and that I wanted to work with him. So already knew that stuff going in. What I found out about him on the journey that I didn't like is he's a huge Lakers fan. I knew this going in. I am not.
Mm-hmm.
And he would throw his Lakers blanket over me while I was asleep, and it gave me nightmares. It gave me nightmares sitting under that blanket. So that Gary Cairns I will get you for, trust me. But no, I mean, we had a really cool crew. Everyone pitched in and did way more than, you know, they needed to, just because that's what had to be done. So, I mean, yeah, it was really a really, really good team.
You're either going to love each other even more, or you're going
right.
to start not liking each other even more.
Absolutely. You know, and not everyone gets along. Not everyone's best friend. But at the end of the day, you're all there for the same reason, and you get it done. And, I mean, Gary and I are already talking about working together again. So, you know, it's that speaks volumes if you can go through that with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And still have that much respect for each other. I had to get,
yeah.
good to go.
That's fantastic. I love those stories. I was wondering, there's a couple things I'm curious about. I know
okay.
you said you liked comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you liked Office Space. Now, would that be your favorite comedy movie?
Ooh, that's a tough one right there. One of my favorites. That's going to be in the top 5. Another favorite would probably be Dumb and Dumber, obviously one of my favorites. So ridiculous. Those are two that come to mind. Three Amigos, I've always been a huge fan of those guys, going back a little further. And then one that I started out hating, but then grew into an obsession with, is Zoolander. I don't know if y'all like that movie or know that one, but I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that, but I wanted to see it, but I haven't gotten a chance to.
It's just, yeah, one of those movies where for some reason it didn't do that well at the box office. I think people, you're a little put off the first time you watch it, but then the more you watch it, you're like, this is genius. This is really freaking funny. So those are some that come to mind. Any what are some of y'all's favorite comedies? That's the only way I can remember is that people bring stuff up.
Oh, Wow. Well, this is going way back, but
okay.
Beetlejuice has always been one of my favorite
oh my
movies
God.
Of all time.
How much for your daughter, Chet? Oh, my God, he's so great. And Beetlejuice is amazing.
I used to watch it over and over again. I think I wore my VHS tape out.
Oh, yeah. Michael Keaton was keen for a while. He was amazing in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I like one of his other movies a lot, and I can't think of the name of it, but he plays all different parts, like all brothers. Like
Multiplicity. Multiplicity.
That's it.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
It.
He, again, he was amazing
that
in that. Yeah, he's really funny. Isn't that where he clones himself?
Yep.
That sounds
yeah.
that
good
to me.
Oh, I thought of a couple. I was a huge fan of old school Eddie Murphy, like Coming to America.
Oh, yeah.
That movie. One of my all-time favorites. And any of his Beverly Hills Cop stuff, he was great in.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
So how about, on the flip side, TV shows that are comedies? Is there anything current or old school back in the day that comes to mind of your favorites?
Absolutely. Grew up on Cheers. Loved that show. Mm-hmm. That was an amazing show. Currently, Arrested Development, they just did their new season. That I'm a huge, huge, gigantic fan of that show. What else have I been watching? What have I watched recently? Everyone Loves Friends. They did a really good job with that show.
Oh, yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Those people are ridiculously talented. I think they're really, really funny. And Curb Your Enthusiasm. The guy's a genius, Larry David.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all ever watch that one?
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
He's fantastic. He's so good. And Seinfeld, obviously, was big for me as well.
Well,
would you ever think of writing, like, a webisode? You know how they have those web series?
Absolutely. We've tossed that idea around, and we've come up with some really cool premises. We haven't gotten down to it yet. We've been focusing mainly on teachers, but I created a talk show with a group of my buddies that we were in talks to get it made, and it was going to be put out online. We've had to since go somewhere else. That company shut down, like their financing got pulled. So we're thanking each other, the other aspects. But it's kind of imagine like The View for men, like The View meets the Man Show. And it's a very simple idea, but the group of guys that I have put together for it are hilarious. And I'm really proud of that. It's called Room Full of Pricks. And I'm pretty sure we'll be shopping that around. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, got to keep me in the loop on that one. That sounds pretty funny and good. Let us know when that one comes available and where to see it.
Absolutely, I'll definitely let y'all know. I mean, I've just got really lucky to have a group of friends that are hilarious. So we'll try to get that going.
I got to tell you, a couple of ones, if you haven't seen them yet or not sure if you've heard of them, definitely check them out. The X's on TV Land, fantastic.
The
X's? Funny. The X's, yes.
I'm going to write that down.
Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun. She's amazing in that show.
Nice.
And then the a kind of lesser known one on OWN, and it's a Tyler Perry show. Love Thy Neighbor.
Okay.
I started watching it and it kind of wasn't sure, and now it's hilarious. I've gotten really into it. So it's definitely good to check out. Now, I'm curious, who is your all-time favorite actor and or, if this is the same one maybe, that you would be wanting to be in a movie with?
Ooh, good Lord. That's another good one. I think starting out, I thought I was going to be this really dynamic, dramatic actor who was going to take over the world. So, obviously, Daniel Day-Lewis was my hero, and I thought I wanted to be him. But I just got to a point where I realized, you know what, that guy is a different being. He's on a different level than everyone else. And that's not me. That's not where my path lies. I just want to go more than anything. I want to work with good people, and I want to enjoy myself and have fun. And I respect him so much, but I think my path will be more of on the comedy line. You know what I mean? Someone who I really respect comedy-wise, there's so many comedians. Like I was saying, like old school Eddie Murphy was just so talented. A more recent guy who I really think is really likable and really funny, Ryan Reynolds, I think does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
He's really funny. Ben Stiller, I think is hilarious.
Love him.
Do you guys watch much Louis C.K.?
No, I've heard of him. I haven't seen any of his stuff.
Yeah, no, he's hilarious. And then, of course, going old school, Steve Martin, just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. And I would recommend a movie some people haven't seen because of the title. Do you ever watch Bowfinger? Did you ever see that film?
Bowfinger?
I think I did see that one. Bowfinger. I think it's been a while. So I'd have to
rewatch
it.
Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy. Please go rewatch it.
Yeah.
So, so good. I'm trying to think if someone, if I had to work with one person, who it would be. You know what? It'd probably be, if I only got one person in the comedy, Dave Chappelle. I'd want to work with him.
Dave Chappelle, yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, I was really sad when he disappeared for a while because that show was killing me. I mean, when you have, like, just our entire group, we would quote the entire thing for years, just quotes from the TV show. You know he's doing something right. So, yeah, I think if I had to choose one, actually would be Daniel Day. Comedy would be Dave Chappelle.
Cool.
Yeah. When he dropped off the face of the earth, I think he went to, like, Africa or something. I don't know. Something
mm-hmm.
happened, and then he came back. So, yeah, everybody was shocked with that one.
Well, yeah. I think from what I've read, there was just this, okay, you're getting X amount of millions of dollars, like $50 million or something for your next season of your show, and it's, like, all this pressure. Like, your show was such a big hit, and now you have to be even
mm-hmm.
funnier. And I think it just kind of got to him from what I've read. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens a lot to actors, so just be careful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good thing you have a girlfriend that would maybe, you know, poke you and say, Luke, come back, you know.
Oh, absolutely. My family would kick my ass. I mean, they're not going to allow any sort of thing like that to happen. You know, I've always,
mm-hmm.
and I think maybe starting later in life and having to work as hard as I've worked and push up through the ranks, I don't really have a fear of that. You know what I mean? I'm ready for success
right.
when it comes. So, and I'll be happy to be there because I feel like I've put in a lot of time, a lot of hard work. And I think a lot of the problem comes if you get it too quick and it's just you're from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds and you're like, hey, I came from nothing. But now no one will tell me no and I can do whatever I want and have enough money to do whatever I want. I think really kind of skews your value system and your sense of reality.
Yeah, even if you do have a family behind you to keep you grounded, you know, if
mm-hmm.
if you're just going to go off the deep end, you're just going to go. It doesn't matter who's
you're
there.
Absolutely
but,
right.
of course, it
you're
helps,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, you're 100% right there. Like, if you're going to do it, there's really no stopping you.
Right. Now, what was the first project you ever did behind the camera?
Oh, okay. The first one I directed was a little short that I wrote and directed called The Promise. And it's just a really cute premise. I was really happy with that one. Learned a ton about maybe, you know, acting in a film and directing it at the same time is not probably the easiest thing in the world to do. It's not something
mm-hmm.
I recommend. Some people are fantastic at it. Like, I think Mel Gibson was one of the best I've seen to be acting in a gigantic movie and directing it and do it so well. I really don't know how you do it because those disciplines to me are completely opposite. As a director, you're saying, okay, this lighting, okay, his delivery, okay, I need him here, and you're watching every part of the production, whereas an actor, you're trying to act like none of that is there, and you're just trying to focus
right.
on the person that you're across from. So if I'm sitting across from you, and I'm like, Pam, oh, did she really mean that? And then I'm like, oh, okay, is that light hitting her the correct way? It's already messing with you, you know what I mean? So
Right.
I learned that I like directing. I really like working with actors more than anything else, but that's really tough to do. So the next one I just did solely directing and let the actors take care of it. And I enjoyed that probably 100% more.
You know, and I always wondered how somebody could be a producer or a director of a movie but also have a part in it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
wearing two totally different hats, that's gosh, I don't even know how you would do that. But there's a lot of people that do.
Yeah. I think you have to be pretty mentally tough. And I think acting and producing is one thing because we could kind of put off a lot of the problems that need to be dealt with until after our shot was done. Directing
mm-hmm.
and acting, I have so much respect for people that can do that because you have to be doing it all at the same time in your head.
Exactly.
It's kind of like you have to have two different parts of your brain all firing at the same time.
Right, right. I mean, because when you go to act in front of the camera and mm-hmm. being the director, there's not somebody that's going to take your place and tell you what to do then, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, exactly. And I think maybe that's where some people run into a problem where, like, their DP or someone tries to give them the note. They're like, shut up, I'm directing this. I'm the lead actor. Right. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
You just have to be, I think, insanely, insanely talented to pull it off. Well, I am not at that level. I couldn't separate the two of them. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Did you ever think of taking any classes for, you know, producing or directing? Or
that's
have
interesting.
You?
I have not taken any classes for that. And that was one reason I was, you know, I talked to my close friends and my girlfriend. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of scared about this directing thing. You know, I've never gone to school for it. You know, are people going to laugh at me? Are going to think this guy doesn't know what he's doing? But, you know, my girlfriend was really key in supporting me in that, saying, you're so talented. Like, I know you can do this. Like, I see the way you write. You already write like a director, and you're so good at working with actors. Just good team of people around you that know the technical side of, like, I had an amazing DP and great, great crew around me that if I told them, hey, this is what I want, they knew how to get it there. And that really
right.
opened things up for me to just focus on my actors and make sure that I got a really nice performance out of them. So, yeah, I think, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say it's a good thing that your girlfriend is an actress because you know that she's telling you something from experience.
Yes, and it helps that she's talented. I mean, I found that out a lot. It's tough when you have friends or people close to you that maybe aren't that talented because then do you really trust their word? But if you're with someone who's, you know, smart and talented and hardworking, you kind of have to listen to what they're saying. Even if you don't agree with it offhand, you kind of need to give it some weight because, you know, they've been there.
Right, right. You know, as we were talking, I was looking at your pictures again, and your girlfriend is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much. I think she's the most beautiful woman in the world. She is stunning.
She is very beautiful. There's one picture where you're carrying her up some stairs.
Oh, that was amazing. She did a mini series in China, and we got to go see there's this giant Buddha statue. And, yeah, I had to carry her up some of the stairs for those photos. Those pretty people were having a hoot with that one. Yeah.
Well, there's some people behind you kind of looking at you like, what the heck?
You know what? In China, that was going to happen no matter what. I'm rolling around with a mohawk, and I got this goddess-looking girl with me. You know what I mean? So they're kind of like, well, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, I don't think
you
see too many Chinese people with mohawks, for sure.
Yeah, we had a blast, though. I think that island is pretty close to Hong Kong, and we got to spend a few days in Hong Kong, and wow, what a great city. What a good time.
Are there really, like, a million people on the streets all the time? I mean, is it really
Absolutely.
That overcrowded?
Yes, absolutely,
wow.
100% accurate. There is no concept of personal space from what I experienced over there, and that's kind of strange. You know, for us here, we have so much space, and, you know,
right.
people, we stand in line. We you know, we respect that, and, okay, this person was there first. So, oh, let me move out of your way on the sidewalk there. It's just like, move or get run down or get run over.
Oh,
you know,
my.
It's just kind of like,
wow.
You're on your own. Good luck, buddy, if you're having a bad day and you accidentally wander out.
You're
going home without a leg.
Oh, my God.
Did you get run over by any rickshaws or anything?
Barely. I mean, the biggest scare we had was we were taking a bus back to from the biggest town close to where she was in mainland China back to, it was called Zhuhai. Back to the little town where she was, and I swear to God, if that bus was made to seat 30, there were 110 people on this bus, and it's just,
wow.
You couldn't move, and it was so uncomfortable, and we just looked at each other and started laughing after about 45 minutes on that thing. We're like, please God, just let us get there.
My gosh.
Yeah, I don't know if I can have this guy touching my butt for much longer.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he was a nice enough fellow, but it was just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where, yeah, there's just no space.
Wow. And I could not imagine being on an elevator with that many people either, because one, that's not real happy with elevators, first of all.
Uh-oh.
And then
okay.
Second, when they're really, really crowded. You know, when you first get in and there's only a few people, people, and it keeps stopping floor to floor, and more people keep getting on. Oh, my gosh. That just drives me insane.
I'm not a big fan of that either. Are you, do you not like enclosed spaces? Is that why it bugs you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It depends on what it is, but elevator is definitely one of them. Another one would be a room with absolutely no windows and the door
Ooh.
Is closed and locked or something. You
I
know?
Don't like that. I can't do that one. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the elevators don't bug me, but one thing, this might take your mind off, the next time you get in an elevator and there's a lot of people in it, you just get to the front of the elevator and turn around and stare at everyone. People are like, what are you doing? And you just smile. Like, hey.
Do you also imagine them in their underwear?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine them naked in class and they forgot their homework and it'll put you at ease.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
I don't know, because in elevators, no one wants to look at each other or talk to each other.
Exactly.
It's very strange.
Right.
If you do that, it kind of opens things up.
Yeah. Thank God for cell phones these days, because when that does happen, you know, you spend your time looking at the cell phone until you get to your floor.
You're absolutely right. That's the new way to pass, like, uncomfortable time. People used to look at their watches or
right?
put their hands in their pocket. Now it's like, where's my cell phone?
Or look at
where's
the numbers lighting up at the top. That's what it
mm-hmm.
was.
Anything not to look at the person in the elevator. You're like, oh, God, don't say anything. I don't want to talk.
And it's so strange. I don't know why we do that as human beings. I swear I don't.
I don't either.
I mean, I when I'm walking down the street and somebody's passing by me and they, you know, I'll look at them and smile. It's not a big deal to me. But
right.
when you get in an enclosed space like that, why do you do the complete opposite? I mean, I think you need to take a psychology class, Luke, and tell us about that.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna get on Phoenix online and I'll take a psychology class. That's the only question I'm going to ask every class.
Thank
I'll be
you.
Like, and they'll be like, we're not answering the elevator question. Shut up. And I'm like, no, that this is all I care about. Why do we not talk to each other in elevators? I'm going to get an answer.
Hey, I have a friend in psychology. She is in college for psychology. It's more for kid psychology, but I think she might be able to help us out with that. I might have to ask her next time I talk to her.
Please
and
I'll
try to let you all know.
Yeah, because I've never understood it.
Yeah. You think I have too much time on my hands with some of the questions I come up with in my brain?
No. These are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. Ask me another elevator question.
Yeah. Well, Sabina has some fun questions for you, so I'll
okay.
let her go next. Go ahead, Sabina.
Okay.
Okay, the first one is, what is your hidden talent?
Ooh, my hidden talent. I'm a hell of a dancer.
All right.
Yep.
Anything
my
on video that we could see?
I know, right?
My girlfriend has some that you will never see of me doing the Milli Vanilli dance.
Oh.
All right.
No, but I absolutely love it, and I've always had a fun time doing that. She's laughing right now, but yeah, that's a hidden talent.
Ooh, here's a good one. If there was a movie made of your life, who would you want to play you?
Oprah.
Oh my gosh,
that's great.
No, oh, okay, sorry. No, that would I say that out loud? Who would I? Gosh, it's hard not to be egotistical here. You know what I mean? Who would I want? You know who would do a fantastic job and who I get compared to quite a bit from people that know me is the guy, Will Forte from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
MacGruber. You know him?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
He's so similar, like, in mannerisms and kind of sort of similar looking, but just his humor. I think he'd do a really funny job, actually. Or the guy from Arrested Development, Will Arnett, I think would be great.
Cool.
Oh, I like him, too.
Yeah, he really does.
What is the oddest thing you've ever done for money?
The oddest thing I've ever done for money? Oof. Okay. I used to work for a company called PPD, and that was a company in Austin. And what they did is they ran studies. They would recruit. I would recruit people to come in to do drug studies for drugs that weren't FDA approved, that were trying to get their approval, so
mm-hmm.
they could find out the side effects of these drugs. So I'd recruit people in, have to make sure they were healthy enough to do the studies, and then they would take these pills or whatever, and then the other people would study the side effects of the drugs. So that was a very strange job that I did, was I think probably recruiting people for drug studies. I met some real interesting people that way.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. I would be too scared to do that. I'm scared enough to take regular drugs that are prescribed to me, you know, and let alone taking something I have no idea what it's going to do to me.
And that's the thing. You saw a lot of people in some dire situations, you know what I mean? It was kind of heartbreaking sometimes, but at other times you met some really fun people, too, that were just like, hell yeah, $2,000, take a pill, let's do it.
Yeah.
Wow. So what was your first car, and what tales would it tell?
Oh, my God. My first car was a Ford Bronco 2, you know, the little Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
It was either, I think, a 90-something. I don't remember what year it was, but, man, I drove the crap out of that. I got that when I was 16 and then drove that all the way through the end of college, and I think it's probably the last tell would be that it was like my stupid owner, Luke, drove me until I was out of oil and caught on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that's the tell I would allow it to tell you. There's some other tells it could tell about road trips and off-roading and stuff. Yeah. But that, man, I had a lot of fun in that car. Just took it all over the country with one of my buddies and just drove it like a complete jackass.
That sounds like lots of fun, though.
Yes, it was.
Okay, I have a slightly serious question. You can turn it funny if you feel the need. If Luke today could meet 16-year-old Luke, what advice would you give him?
Mm. I love these questions. Don't let anyone tell you what you're supposed to do in life. Don't let other people's perception of you and what you're talented in kind of sway you to what you think you should or shouldn't do. I mean, I think that's it. Just think of what I got caught up doing at a young age. It was like, oh, well, people think I should do this, and this is kind of the path that most people take, and that's what you have to do because it's expected of you. And I'd also tell 16-year-old Luke, grow some balls, to be honest. the confidence I have now, I didn't have when I was a kid. And you know, it's weird because you don't want to go back and really change things because I'm really happy with where I am and where my life has gone. But you go through such a lot of growing pains. I've seen kids at that age in high school where you're so worried about what people think and you're so insecure about yourself. If I could just look at that guy and be like, look, you're smart, you're talented, you're going to have an amazing life, man. You should own it. Just enjoy yourself right now and quit worrying about all this ridiculous stuff that down the road no one but you is going to remember.
Mm-hmm. That's very good advice.
I should have you call back and talk to my son and tell him that stuff because he just turned 17, and he's one of the kids that always worries about what people think of him. So
it's tough at that age. And I don't know do you find that it's for a lot of kids that age? I mean, I think maybe for most kids. I don't know. I definitely dealt with it, but
it
I understand
is.
Where he's coming
it
from.
Is.
Well,
but
and I
listen?
Got teased a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I got teased a lot, so that didn't help matters any for me.
and I hate that. And that's what age were you getting teased? Like junior high, high school?
Even younger. Like starting when I was in elementary school, going all the way through. And I went to two different schools in two different states, like for elementary school and high school. So, but yeah.
No,
that was the awkward one, apparently.
Well, and I would love to talk to us at that age and say, look, this is how you are now. You know, just trust me. Like, I'm from the future. I know how this turns out. You're going to be fantastic. And most of these people making fun of you are going to peak in high school. You know, you're going to have a laugh.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Yeah. I love watching those types of movies, too, where the, you know,
Absolutely. The
dorky ones come back and they're the successful people and the other ones are, you know, digging dirt somewhere.
Yeah, it's we all know that story for a reason because it really happens. And you look back at these people that I don't know why they peaked at that age or what was going on in their lives, and it doesn't make me happy that they did, but it is nice to see those kids kind of blossom and be like, I knew there was talent there. I knew that kid was funny. I knew that kid was extremely smart. And now they're going and they're having amazing lives. And yeah, but maybe it was good for us to struggle at that age too. You know, I think that teaches you a lot about your own character and pushing through that sort of stuff and coming out the other side. So that's the kind of the weird thing about this question. Would I change it? Would I tell myself that, or would that have changed who I am today? I don't know.
Yeah, you can't go back. I mean, I think you learn things for a reason, so you have to go through life in a certain way for you to become the adult that you become.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
It's just mapped out that way. You're going to take it, and you're going to like it, or you're not going to like it, and you're going to change it. That's it.
So I'm going to have to retract everything I said, and I would tell 16-year-old Luke, buy Apple stock. And then we'll see what happens from there.
And you will what?
We'll just see where that one takes.
Yeah.
Apple and Starbucks.
Well, we have Gary coming back to our show in August, so maybe
awesome.
You can call in and tell some stories and embarrass him while he's on.
Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite things to do is put that guy on the spot.
Awesome. That is going to be a fun show.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to let him get away with that without me calling him.
I believe it's August 17th, isn't it, Sabina?
Well, you told me 27th, but we can double check.
No, it's not that far, but I'll let you know, Luke. I'm surprised
okay,
Gary didn't call in. He knew you were going to be on today, so he's got one up on
him.
Yep. Well, he's so just respectful and wants everyone to shine. I think his mindset was probably like, this is Luke's time, I want to let him talk, but I would love if he would. If you would have called him. I'm really surprised. I have a buddy that threatened. He's like, oh, you should have never told me. I'm calling. I'm really surprised we didn't hear from him.
Well, Gary does respect you, and he talks very highly of you. So
well,
I
appreciate
that.
And it's a mutual respect from dealing with people that take pride in what they do and are good at what they do and try to treat people with respect, and I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, he's very happy to have you as a friend and as a cohort in his movie.
Ah, it's been an amazing journey. He and I talk about that frequently, like to be able to do it together from him bringing me the script and the story and being like, hey, what do you think, to us less than 2 years later being wrapped and into editing already. It's a really good feeling.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and anything else that you have coming up. I'm not sure about the spooky movies as far as watching those. Maybe I'll do it through my fingers or something, or have
a party of
1,000 people to help me through.
Or, you know what, Pam, I'm just going to tell you it's comedy until you get in there, and you're like, goddamn, Luke, you got me.
There you go.
You devil.
Because that is the first thing that I watch. I always say that there's too much bad stuff going on in the world, and I want to sit down and I want to watch something that's going to be funny, and you forget about all those types of things. Or you watch a soap opera, you know.
Right. I love it. I think that's why it's so fun to create comedy, just because you are, if for only a little bit, you get people to forget about what's wrong and just enjoy life a little bit.
Definitely. Well, I want to thank you so much for spending the hour with us. It just flew by. You're very funny and very, very intelligent, and I look forward to everything that you have coming up, though.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. I had a blast. I will call and talk to y'all anytime. Really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome back anytime as well. Sabina?
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you again. I had a great time. I enjoyed chatting with you. And I will be looking for you on Twitter and Facebook or wherever and following you and reading your blog thing that she told me about. I will definitely
Tumblr.
Do that soon. Tumblr.
It's a Tumblr.
Watch out for tricks is my Tumblr, my Tumblr tag.
And that should give you a clue right there.
Yeah, you're in for a treat, ladies.
Well, I will definitely tweet you once I've read it and let you know what I think and how funny it was to me. And
even if you even if you don't think it's funny, let me know. I enjoy it.
Okay.
Well, Sabina, there's a Santa Claus thing. There's a half-naked guy actor that you'll recognize that he talks about, and there's another actor, and then there's a blind guy, so.
Send me the link, Pam, so I can find it easy. But, I wanted to also thank you, and And like Pam said, actually Gary kind of hit me up and said, hey, I want my buddy on your show. So I was like, awesome, I will totally make that happen. So yeah, he definitely helped get it through, and I'm glad that you came on the show, and you have a great rest of your evening, and I'll look for you on Twitter.
Yeah, ladies, please keep in contact. Keep me up to date with what you're doing. Like I said, it was a blast. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And don't forget to congratulate your girlfriend for us.
Agnes, they love you. They think you're beautiful. And congratulations on General Hospital. She says thank you.
She's welcome, and we'll be watching for her. Well, I will be anyhow, because I watch it.
You'll love it. I guarantee you. You'll get a good chuckle out of it. It's a good episode.
I'm sure, because I know what Luke is off doing right now, so
mm-hmm.
I look forward to that.
Excellent.
All right, thanks again. And for our listeners, real quick, you can follow Luke on Twitter at TheLukeAlbright. And Facebook,
yes,
you only have a personal Facebook. You don't have a fan page, do you?
I'm redoing some stuff right now. I just have the personal. I'll be putting up a fan page in the next couple of days, actually.
Okay, good. Let me know,
okay.
And I'll tweet that out for you.
Thanks so much.
I'll be promoting it as well.
All right.
You ladies are great.
Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So do you think you'll watch Devil's Pass or Paranormal Movie? Actually, that one's a spoof, so I bet that would be funny.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see all the paranormal movies. I just haven't had a chance to watch them, and I'm definitely not watching them at night. I will try them out. It's going to be during the daytime hours. yes.
You know, there was a couple of movies that they made that I thought were going to be really scary, and I was scared to watch them by myself. And one night I turned on a movie and didn't look to see what the title, you know how you're flipping through the channels and you're like, oh, well, maybe this will be good. And I think maybe I recognized somebody in it. But it was either the Blair Witch Project or one of those types of movies.
Ooh.
And I ended up watching the whole thing by myself. And you know what? It was not scary at all. I know it was supposed to be, but if I'm not scared, it wasn't scary.
I actually was working in a movie theater when the Blair Witch Project was in the theaters, and
mm-hmm.
I heard lots of tales of people throwing up in the theater or getting
really?
Sick from the motion. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I never saw, but I heard, so I don't know.
Yeah,
motion.
you can watch
yeah,
that one. If you're interested in it at all, I would say that you'd be able to watch that with no problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I definitely... You would, seriously. I really, really want to see Monumental, though. That one is beyond awesome sounding. I mean, it's just, I know a lot of us will be able to relate to it in some way or another. You know, because you mm-hmm. think about the people that have passed and so many of them that passed away so young and what they wanted to do.
Right.
Even as an older person, like my mom, when she passed, she was 52, and I know there was so many places she wanted to go and things she wanted to do and of course, people that she wanted to see and didn't get to do them. So when something happens where I'm at that certain place or seeing that certain person, I, can't help but think of her.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait till they get that one done, and we'll have to watch that. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today, Sabina. It was nice. David is actually still in the air right now. He's on his way to California.
Yeah, he's going to go to a fun event. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, he's going to the General Hospital fan club weekend, and I don't even know. I would love to be there, but I don't know how I would be able to do that at this time. But hopefully someday I'll be able to do it, and they're still available to go to.
mm-hmm.
Just like you're going to the Atlanta one. What is that one called?
Well, the one in August is Elite Fan Events, I believe. It's a different one, and it's just all the youngins from Days. Jen Lilly's going to be there, and Chandler Massey, and Casey Diedrich, and Nathan Owens, and Blake Barris. I was almost forgetting. So all of them are going to be there, and I think there's three different things going on the same day, but they're in Chicago first. They're near you first, and then they come here. So they're
what?
In Chicago.
You didn't tell me they
Saturday.
Were coming here, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
They're doing the same event. Yeah, I know I did. It's the same event on the Saturday in Chicago, on the Sunday here in Atlanta. They're going to be busy and tired.
Yeah, there's so many events going on. I don't remember which one is where and when, you know.
Yeah. And that one's August 25th for Atlanta and the 24th for you guys in Chicago. So I'm just going to the lunch, and apparently it's Blake's birthday. I don't know if it's the Saturday or the Sunday, but it's around his birthday. So there's going to be birthday celebrations and cake. And I saw Jen Lilly tweeted about some extra surprises coming. And so I'm super psyched and thrilled about that. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, Jen Lilly's character is very interesting on days, isn't she?
Very.
Oh, my gosh. A little troublemaker. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's a little troublemaker on there and getting JJ in trouble, although JJ doesn't really need help with that. He's already hooked up with that other guy and getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thanks again for everybody that joined us today. We really appreciate it. And follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio. Check out the website at take2radio.com. That's with the number 2. You can follow Sabina and my other co-host, David, at Take Two Radio Crew. If you follow us on Blog Talk, they'll send you an email each and every time we have a show scheduled. You can also listen for free to the previous podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. Stitcher is a mobile app that you can download on your mobile devices and listen anywhere, anytime. Great things that they have out there these days. You can listen on your phone, your tablet, wherever. And watch for our tweets and on the website for our upcoming guests. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Thanks, Sabina, for joining me, and we'll chat again soon.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.